certain things stick in your memory, get, you know. You're at the ice cream stand or the store, you know, and you got 3-4 little kids. You're trying to keep them all from getting run over, you know, from crawling up into the produce, you know, and from... Remember those days, taking 3 or 4 kids to the store at the same time, you know, using the Betty Pinch? Anybody know what the Betty... I didn't use the Betty Pinch. You know the Betty Pinch? Stuff, but you're embarrassing me. You go right... Pinch that little back right there, you know. Because it's not like the old days where you can just haul off and, you know, spank them in the store with, you know, you never know when a libtard's gonna report you, you know. But some of us still did it. But I just remember always running into elderly people and they look at the kids. This is before everybody had dogs all the time and cared more about their dogs than their kids. They'd look at the kids and think they were cute, and they'd say, goes by fast. I'd say, goes by fast. And it does. Goes by fast. So you want to get the most out every day with the people you love. Goes by fast. It's fleeting. Luke chapter 2. And Luke chapter 2, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. This is when they took Christ to the temple to offer that sacrifice of purification according to the law after he was born. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Israel's national resurrection and their return to importance, strength, and blessing in the Middle East was connected to the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Lord had told Simeon, you're not going to die till you see this, the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, so this man was led by the Spirit into the temple to find Jesus. And he hadn't seen him yet. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says we know no man after the flesh. We knew him, but now we know him no more. But we'll see him one of these days. But that doesn't mean we can't be led of the Spirit. It doesn't mean we can't walk in the Spirit and seek the Lord. Seek him here. And verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Israel had been waiting for a long time for this consolation. When Jesus Christ showed up, they were under Roman rule, that iron fist, the iron boot, and they had been crushed and bruised. And they had been overrun by others. They'd been overrun by the Greeks. They'd been overrun by the Babylonians. They'd been overrun by the Assyrians and the Syrians and the Egyptians. And so many had trampled through that holy land and had killed their children and taken them captive and brought them into slavery. And they were just waiting. They were waiting. What were they waiting for? They're waiting for the consolation. It was the old promise. It's the oldest promise. It's the oldest promise with the most meaning. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, Jesus Christ said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Bible says in Genesis 49 that the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. 2,000 years before Christ showed up, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come and he would wash his clothes in blood. The Bible says his eyes shall be red with wine. Oh, Balaam said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter, like a king's scepter, shall rise out of Israel, shall smite the corners of Moab, and Edom shall be a possession, and Israel shall do valiantly again. He says, out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion. Moses said in Deuteronomy 18, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken. I'll raise them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command them. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Isaiah said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there shall be no end. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Hallelujah. Upon his kingdom to order it and establish it forever. This was everywhere. Micah said, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth he that shall be the ruler of my people, whose going forth hath been from everlasting. Even the last book of the Old Testament, he said, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming day of the Lord. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. He says, unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And they're all looking for him. It was all over the place. And the verses that I showed you this morning, they're just a handful of the many hundreds that point to that Messiah. And Simeon was one of those that was waiting to see him. All of the promises of the prophets would begin to be fulfilled in this, the long-expected deliverer. We sing the song. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. It's a Christmas song. We sing, O come, he come, O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Waits in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. For those of us who take the Bible literally, he will come again. He will come, and we expect him. The Bible says, while they looked up steadfastly toward heavens, the disciples, an angel appeared and said to him, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. Jesus Christ said himself, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Bible says that his feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives. And John says in Revelation, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Paul told us to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are commanded to look for his return. Yes, we are. In fact, the Bible promises the Christian a crown of righteousness to all those that love his appearing. Those lads, at the end of the book of Revelation, what does he say? Behold, I come quickly. And that last prayer in the Bible is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're all to look for him. We're commanded as Christians to look for him. We hope for him. We expect him. Paul says we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with that body, that tabernacle that is from heaven. There's an expectation not only then but now. And yet there's a third truth that believers hold to. There's the truth of his coming to Israel, that expectation. There's the expectation of him coming again, which we all believe in. And if you don't, you have to throw out half the Bible. And then there's the third, and that is that Jesus Christ is born into the heart of every believer when they're saved. The Bible says we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Paul makes it even more clear. He says in Galatians 4, he says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman, made under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, speaking of his birth. But then he says just a couple verses later, he says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So there's a third coming for the Christian. And that coming is when you're born again, Jesus Christ sends the spirit of his son into your heart. He takes up residence inside you. The Bible calls that the new birth. It says you must be born again. That's not joining a church. That's not doing good deeds. That's not giving giving money to the guy ringing the bell at Salvation Army. That's none of that. It's receiving the shed blood of Jesus Christ as a payment for your sin and trusting His resurrection. It's His life-giving power, believing that gospel. And when you're born again, the Bible says He sends His Spirit into your hearts. And Paul says this in Galatians 4. He says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you." And there's something that happens with a Christian is that the Lord sends us this Holy Spirit and we're likened to babies. We're born again. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Paul says, I'm laboring for Christ to be formed in you. So there's another thing that we expect and we wait for. And that's, as a Christian, that's waiting and hoping and praying for some maturity and some growth and some stronger faith. Don't you ever want that? Don't you want that? We got, you know, the Christmas trees and the gifts and the manger scenes, and we think of Christ coming and all beautiful and all, we're so thankful. Christ has come into our hearts. And when Simeon saw Christ, he's like, oh, He's here. But he didn't roll in with a machine gun. He didn't roll in and take the first Roman soldier and pop him. No, he's, you know what he was? You know what their hope was wrapped up in? A little baby. A little baby. A little baby. I mean, not yet. I guess I'm going to talk this morning just a little bit about Christmas expectations. And here, Simeon saw the hope of Israel, but that hope was still a baby. He still had 33 years to grow till he would become 30 years before he started preaching, another 3 or 4 years before he became that sinless, spotless Lamb of God crucified on Calvary for us. It was here, but not quite yet. And I don't know if you ever feel that in your Christian life. But, you know, we have these hopes. We have these expectations. We want the Lord to return. And we have a hope of how we might grow and become stronger Christians. And we have hopes for our family and for our church. And it feels like they're just out of reach. Feels like we've been waiting a long time, and it's not yet. It's not yet. I'd like to consider that this morning. Let's pray, ask the Lord to bless this. Father, we thank You for this morning, as has already been prayed. I ask that You would bless what is said, and may it be a blessing and help and encouragement to Your dear people. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we ask this, believing. Amen. You know, it said in the, talking about Christmas in Sunday school, you know, and all of the pagan and pre-pagan and Christian traditions that it's based on. And, you know, they in the old German culture, the Norwegian, the Swedish, the Germanic peoples of what is today Denmark, and the people that lived in those dark and clouded forests and cold, chilly seacoasts, way up there in the land of the north, they would have this Yuletide feast. It was a Yule. It was a oak log or a log out of the forest that they would pick that would burn a long time, that would burn for the entire feast. And you know, during the, you know, all the harvest had been gathered, and the deer had been shot out of the forest, and the fish had been gathered from the sea. And you know, and in the old days of superstition and fear of the unknown and of uncharted waters and unknown lands, people would almost cower in the darkness and wait for days of more light, right? The winter solstice being the darkest time of the year. And just hoping and knowing that just around the corner would be spring again, and they could plant and they could run out in the fields. And this is old. People have always gathered in the darkest time of years. The natives would do it, and they would call it the storytelling time. You know, they'd hunted the buffalo, and they had dug the camas and the bitterroot, and they had everything had been done. All that was left was to smoke the pipe and hang out in the buffalo robes and tell stories and joke and get up in the morning, go down to the river, take an ice bath. They were doing it way before it was cool, you know, invigorating, you know, and wait for brighter days. But, you know, they would celebrate it in the darkest time of the year, but and because the days, you know, get lighter after today. You know that? The days are going to start to get longer. But, you know, it's a long time before they get warmer. That sun is going to slowly start warming the earth again starting tomorrow at a faster rate. Those UV rays are going to penetrate a little more every day until spring comes. And we're going to see a little more light every day, but it's going to be a while before it actually gets warm. And it just seems like, as a lot of things in life, we're there but just not there yet. There's still 3 cold months to go. And Simeon, he got to see Jesus as a baby, but I doubt he got to see Jesus crucified, and I doubt he got to see the miracles. I doubt he got to see the greatest things of his ministry. But it was enough for him just to lay eyes on that promise and take hope and say, I'm good. I'm good. And that's, as Christians, that's what we do. We live according to a hope. We walk by faith. And the truth is, God isn't going to show us everything. And God isn't going to give us the reason for everything. And not everything is going to make sense. But there are little things that we can hold on to. There are little things that we can hope in. He gives us little tidbits here and there, fragments of faith. Are you with me this morning? I want to say this about that things get tough before they get better. Just like I said about the seasons. You know, here, Mary's days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and what happens? A decree goes forth, and she's got to get on that donkey or wherever it was and make that trek across the Ephraimic Highlands and the Judean Plateau. In days when travel was not easy, that 9-month, that woman that was full term had to travel with that baby. And just a little tough. And then when they do get to Bethlehem, there was no room. There's no room for them in the end. He's just about here. The angels are just about to split the heavens with their songs. But you know what? Just a little further to go where it's just tough still. Where you got to take that baby and wrap him in grave clothes. Because that's all you have. And then when he is born, and wise men come from the east and they bring, wow, our son must be special. These guys traveled from who knows where? Persia? Babylon? India? Who knows, man? Long way. They'd seen his star in the east. They come, they bring that baby frankincense and myrrh and gold to take care of that child. The Lord provided, made sure his son had everything that he needed. These guys dropped off those gifts. His parents thought, wow, must be a special baby. But boy, right after that, they had to run to Egypt for their lives because Herod sought to kill them. And all of that fullness of time and all the expectation that the Messiah was coming, and yet it's not quite yet. Not quite yet. You know as well as I do that when you got saved, your problems didn't go away. No. And we're not promised that they will. Paul even said, we through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You know, we see that things take longer than expected and that we have a hope, but oftentimes hope is still a child. Years away from being able to do anything. All he saw was a baby. We see that. We see that things get tough before they get better. We see that hope is a child, but it is a child. It's there. And he begins to grow. Begins to grow. And you know what else we see with our hope? We see that not everyone shares in our hope. Those wise men came from the east and they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. This is awesome. Aren't you excited, Herod? You know? I guarantee you the people you work with aren't super excited about what you read in your Bible this morning. You know, you probably get in your car, you put on the radio, you put on your iPad or pod or whatever, and you listen to some Christian music that lifts your soul and draws you close to God. And I guarantee you there are some people that get in your truck that don't share in your same excitement. They don't share in your hope. We're surrounded by people that aren't as excited about the Lord as we are. That can be kind of discouraging, right? And from the beginning all the way to the end, Jesus Christ was so special, so wonderful, so amazing. And yet there were those that, how could you hate Jesus? And yet they did. They hated him because he interfered with their lives. They hated him because he took away their followers. He messed with their pocketbook. They hated him because he took away attention from them. They hated him because just by his pureness of life and decency and holiness, he exposed the sin in them. Those religious leaders that walked around and looked really good to everybody, and when Jesus Christ showed up, they were like, wow, why were we ever excited about you? That's actually the real deal. And they hated him for that. And we see about this birth of Christ in our life that we all have if you love him, and you do love him if you're saved. We see that not everyone is as excited about it as we are. Are you with me this morning? Well, what can we do? I want you to look at Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. Just a few things, and we'll probably read this on Wednesday night, but when Jesus Christ is born in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. In the same country, there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, the angels were excited. You know, the angels know better. They've been around a while. Isn't it amazing that the angels, who have got to be, you know, I don't know. I don't work, you know, we don't worship the angels. Okay, I don't talk about my guardian angel and that kind of stuff. But they have been around a while. They probably know some stuff. And isn't it amazing that the angels know are a lot more excited about Jesus than we are? And this world is. It says in verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. You know, this hope in our hearts, this Holy Spirit that's in us, this child that's growing, and we want to grow. And I think if you're a Christian, you want to grow. Do you want to grow?
Yes.
I do. Yeah, I do. I want to be a better Christian next year than I am this year. I mean, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father and grandfather. Yeah, Brother Jason, grandfather. Yeah, two Jasons. Yeah. I want to be a good grandfather. Not everybody has a good grandfather. I didn't really know mine. You know, I want my grandkids to. There's a lot of things I want to grow in. I don't want to disappoint the people looking up to me, right? Right? Well, okay. And maybe I'm going to get there this year. And maybe, guess what? I'm going to walk out of here today, and I'm going to disappoint myself. I'm going to find that maybe it's a little longer journey than I thought it was going to be. And it's still 33 years to the cross here. It's still 30 years till the Sermon on the Mount. But we see a hope. And I have a hope in my heart. That's what keeps me going. It keeps me preaching here every Sunday. You know, it keeps me keeping on. I got a hope in my heart that things can be better. I got a hope that you can grow. I got a hope that I can grow. I got a hope that one day we're going to stand before God and we got a chance of him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Boy, if I don't have hope, I don't have anything. I got a hope. I got a hope. And you know, that keeps me going. But you know what we can purpose to see? We can purpose. They say, let us go now even to Bethlehem and see. And see, you know what I'm up here this morning telling you? I'm up here telling you this morning as a Christian that you have Jesus Christ in your heart. You have a blessed hope. You got someone that'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got someone who says, I'll abide with you forever. You got someone that sends his spirit into your heart and you can say good morning, Father. Good night, Father. And thank you for being my Father. And thank you for caring for me. And I'm telling you that, but you know what? You ought to see it for yourself. You ought to see it for yourself. You know what you ought to see? You ought to see Christ in your life. That's what they did. Those shepherds say, okay, we heard it from the angels. We heard it from the preachers. We heard it from the guy on YouTube. But I want to see it for myself. You know, you ought to purpose, Christian, you ought to purpose to see Jesus in your life for yourself and get your own experiences. Amen. Don't live on my experiences. I shouldn't live on my father's experiences or my mother's experience. I should get my own experiences. I should have my own moments where I took a step of faith in my home, in my finances, or whatever it is, in my witness. I should have my own stories. I should have my own things in my life where, hey, wow, you know what? I've grown in that area. I want a purpose to see Christ in my life. I want a purpose to see Christ when I deal with difficult people. Right? Because Christ dealt with difficult people. And I can see Christ. I want to see Christ when I deal with problems in the home. I want to see Christ when I deal with my own stinking flesh, my own stinking pride, and my own and just my own things that just don't seem to go away, or they go away very slowly. You ought to see Him for yourself. Start looking for Christ in your life. Amen. The longer you've been saved, you ought to have a list a mile long of things where Christ has led you. All the way my Savior leads me. Cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. Amen. That song ends by saying, this my song in endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Can you see where He led you? I want Him to lead me this year. Look for me. Get a Bible. Get yourself a Bible. Amen. Like that right there. That's your Bible. Is that your Bible? Good for you. You didn't just grab that off the bench when you came in? No, that's your own Bible, isn't it? Amen. Every Christian needs their own Bible. Amen. See it for yourself. Amen. See these kids? They all got their own Bible. Amen. And you got a pen there. You're writing stuff down. Well, that, amen. You know why? Because that's how you learn. Right? You can learn by hearing, right? But also, you know, when you write it, right, and see it, that's another way to get it into your mind. Right? So that's why we have a Bible, and that's why, you know what good stocking stuffers are? Pigma pens. They're pens that don't bleed through Bible papers. And then when you're sitting here listening to preacher, when you're reading your Bible at the house, right, you make a note when the Lord shows you something. And after a few years, you got notes all over the place. You got notes all over the place. You know, I read a proverb every morning. Why? Because I'm an idiot. And I need wisdom. So you see, I got this done. I normally do in this particular Bible, I do it in pencil. That's because I'm not fallible. I mean, I'm not infallible. Right? Like, I sometimes make mistakes, so I do it in pencil so I can erase it. You know? Yeah, those aren't sermons. Those are notes for me. This one says, hey, dummy. I'm teasing. Amen. You know what you do? You mark that book up. Amen. Everybody needs their own Bible. Amen. Amen. Don't share a Bible with somebody. And I don't know if anybody's sharing a Bible this morning, so I'm not looking. Got my glasses off. Okay. But you ought to have your own Bible. Why? So you can mark it when the Lord shows you something. You can remember, it can be special to you, right? Note this book's called, it's called The Sword of the Spirit. Yeah. It's a sword. Yeah. If we're going into a fight tomorrow, right, I'm going to show up, I'm going to have my knife. I'm going to have my sword. I'm going to have my gun, right? I'm not going to come along and just be like, hey, I guess I'm just standing behind you. Yeah. Imagine a Christian that doesn't have their own Bible. I mean, especially in this country. Yeah. Have your own Bible and make it yours. Yeah. Make it yours. Why? I don't care who you are. Ladies, have your own Bible. Right. Why? Because you have Jesus Christ inside of you. And He is your great high priest. And you go straight to Him to pray. You don't pray through your husband. Honey, can you interpret this to the Lord for me? No. So the Lord can speak to you through His Word. So you need to get your own walk with the Lord. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. That's just not for dudes. Yeah. Every woman in here needs her sword. You need to cut people once in a while. Amen. See it for yourself. See it for yourself and make it real to you. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Look at Matthew. Or no, look at Luke. Look at Luke chapter 2. Look at Luke chapter 2. All right, look at verse 20. The shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen that was told to them. You know what we can do when we see that little baby? we can rejoice in what we do see. No, he's not the conquering deliverer yet. He's not riding on a white horse smashing our enemies. I don't have all the victories yet. I still have this body that I'm dealing with. I still have this flesh that I'm dealing with. But you know what? I have seen something. I have experienced something. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rejoice in that and tell people about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. We ought to rejoice in what we do see in our Christian life. We ought to rejoice in what we do see with the Lord.
Yeah.
We ought to be thankful for that. Amen. Boy, about this time, listen, about this time next year, when we have a Thanksgiving service and testimony time, everybody ought to have a couple things this year that the Lord blessed them with, that the Lord showed them out of his word, that the Lord did in their family or in their home or in their own walk. You ought to have something. You ought to have something to rejoice in. And you know what? If you start looking, you do. Oh, you do. You got good health? Not everybody has that. There's people in here right now in this room that are hurting just sitting. Their back's giving them a hard time. Their neck's giving them a hard time. Their legs falling asleep. Their sciatica's bothering them. Oh, yeah, bulging discs. And yeah, if you got health, that's something to praise God about. Amen, amen. Well, you don't know how special it is till you don't have it. Yeah. You got a wife that sticks with you? You should thank God every single day that she sticks with you and loves you, right? And doesn't, yeah. Don't look too close, man. Don't look too close. Don't go on Facebook and look at your wife's old boyfriends, you know? This one owns a plane. This one owns 6 pharmacies in Tennessee, you know? Hey, babe. Still lucky, still happy you married me? You know what I'm saying? You know, you got a woman. Listen, you got a man that loves you and is faithful to you. You got to thank God for him. Works hard and treats you right. Is faithful to you and doesn't call you names and slap you around. You know, people deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
You got to be thankful for that. Your kid's healthy. You got to thank God. Boy, oh boy. You got to be thankful that you have a Bible that you can read and you're not going to get arrested for it.
Yeah.
We got to rejoice in what we do see. And you know what we do see? We see a blessed hope. And those, what do those shepherds saw? They saw a baby wrapped in grave clothes in a barn. And they rejoiced in it. Because what? Because that baby symbolized something so much greater that was going to grow and become something so amazing. And one of these days, that Holy Spirit that is inside of you, oh boy, brother. Oh boy, sister. Bible says that trumpet will sound and we shall be changed. And we're going to dump this vile body. We're going to be in a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And that is something to rejoice in.
Amen.
And it fuels me. Fuels me. I want you to look here at Matthew chapter 2. Hold your place there in Luke 2. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. See it for yourself. Oh, see it for yourself. And rejoice in what you see. It's easy to get bummed out.
Yeah.
That ain't hard. You ever have those days where you just start seeing everything negative? There's plenty when you start looking for it. You have to decide not to. You have to decide not to. Count your blessings. This is a good time of year to count your blessings. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, I joked in Sunday school about my dad going to the office Christmas morning, you know, and he's like, I esteem every day alike, you know. But there's a reason for that. He don't have any good Christmas memories. You know, you grow up in a town, you know, in a middle-class neighborhood, and everybody's gathering around the tree, and family spending time together, and you know your mom's working late at the bar, and it doesn't mean the same thing to you as it might mean to other people, right?
Right.
I get that. I get that this season is hard for some people. Brings back some memories that aren't, you know, not everybody has wonderful memories of the holidays, right? But as a Christian, you know what you start doing? You start getting your own memories.
Yeah.
Start making your own memories with your kids. and your family and with the Lord. And pretty soon, those older memories, they're still going to be there, but they won't be as sharp. They'll start to scab over a little bit. Amen. Look at what did I say? Go Matthew 2. There's the wise men in verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know what we can do? Still a child. Spring's a ways away. Not everything is what we want yet, but you know what we can do? We can invest in what will grow. You know what that baby needs? You know what he's going to need for 30 years? Clothes. He's going to need a roof over his head. You know what the wise men did? They just took care of the family right there. Right? Those wise men are never going to see Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. They're not going to see his crucifixion or his resurrection, at least I don't think. All they see is a baby, a young child. But you know what? They say this thing needs to grow. And you know, as Christians, what we can do with that hope that's inside of us, we can invest. We can invest in it, right? And then you get the returns later. Invest in what will grow. Invest in your walk with the Lord. Say, I'm not getting anything out of my Christian life. You get out what you put into it. Amen. You know what you start when you start purposing to read your Bible and talk to the Lord every day? You start getting reaping some dividends from your Christian life. Amen. You know, I was thinking of Miss Kylie here this morning home for Christmas, you know, and her playing the piano over here on Wednesday nights for a couple years, and then she left us. But we still love her. It was such a blessing to see up there smiling and playing that piano. But you know what? Someone when you were young decided, well, we don't have a lot, you know, it's tight. It's tight every month. We got three kids, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to pay for your piano lessons. I'm assuming your parents did that. Aren't you glad they did? You invest in what will grow. Invest in what will grow. And people don't get anything out of their Christian life because they never make the sacrifices to invest in it. Time in their heart. They don't. You know what those wise men? They were wise men. A wise man invests in the future. A wise man looks toward, what do I want this to be? What do I want my church to be? What do I want my family to be? What do I want my walk with the Lord to be? Where do I want to be at the end of next year in my Christian life? Do I just want to be the same, just hanging on? Or do I want to grow? You know what that takes? It takes some investment. You have to invest in anything worthwhile. The things that are worthwhile, they cost. Amen. Ask anybody that's successful. Ask a successful business owner. They don't put in 40 hours a week. Not a chance. Ask a successful athlete. Look at what they eat and what they don't eat. And how much they work. And how much harder they work than others. And that's just life. And you get out of your Christian life, just like anything, what you put into it. I'm not getting anything. I feel like my faith is faltering. I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of preaching. I don't feel like I'm close to the Lord. Are you putting your time in? Are you putting your heart in? Then lastly, look at Luke chapter 2. You still with me this morning? Amen. Luke chapter 2. We got a hope. We want it to grow. We can purpose to see for ourselves. Amen. Get your own walk with the Lord. Get your own Christian life. Amen. You kids that were raised in a Christian, man, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, Brother Asher, that your parents brought you to church every time the doors were open. You're going to reap benefits from that. Right? But you know what you're going to have to do, and you already know this. You're now down there on your own, and no one's watching you, I don't think. The Lord is. You know what you have to do? You have to get your own walk with the Lord. Oh, but that's good. It's good. It's good when it's not just inherited from your parents and it's not just, you know, living through their experience. It's good when you start seeing God work in your own life. Yeah, it's good. It's a great experience, you know. You rejoice in what we see. Invest in what will grow. And then I want you to look at Luke chapter 2 again. And it says in verse about these shepherds, and they came with haste, verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child and all they that heard it. You ought to have experiences with the Lord that you can tell people about. Amen. And when they heard it, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. And what the Bible says, it says that David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry, he brought my feet up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a solid rock, and he established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my heart, a new song, even praises to my God. Many shall see and fear and turn to the Lord. Many shall see and fear. And as you follow that hope, as you invest in that hope, as you rejoice in that hope, as you see that hope for yourself, other people begin to be able to see it in your life, and you'll be able to tell people, hey, this is what God is doing for me. It's not just mommy's religion. It's not just daddy's religion. It's not just Abraham's religion. It's not just David's religion. It's not just Paul's faith. It's my own faith. In verse 19, it says, of 18, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then it says in verse 19, but Mary. Now here's mom. Here's mom. Mom's the one that carried the baby. You know, mom's the one that Simeon said to her, he said, this child's set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And then he looked at Mary and he said, and a sword are going to pierce through your heart. This ain't all going to be easy. You know, to the point he was so into his father's business that she was not allowed at a certain point, it seemed, much motherly privilege, for they stood without waiting to see him. And Christ says, I have to use this as an opportunity to teach that in Christ we're all family. You know, and she shared her son with the world. And of course, if you had the Son of God, you would be kind of selfish to keep him. You know, and you got to figure that it wasn't raising Jesus Christ probably wasn't normal. I think there's a reason that the scripture draws a curtain over that 30 years. I think you can come up with all sorts of weird things that the Bible doesn't reveal, but it had to be quite an experience. Hey, son, we just lost you at the fair, you know? Where were you, you know? We just lost you at the feast. Don't you know I should be about my father's business? He's 12, sitting in the temple with all the doctors of the law, confounding them. They're like, you know, must have been a thing. And then knowing where he had to go and what he had to do and hearing what people whispered about him and seeing the people that hated him. But you know what she did? She stuck with him till the end. She was there when he was on the cross. And she was there in the upper room after he rose from the dead. And maybe it wasn't the same mother-son relationship that other people get to have, but she decided to stick it out. She decided to be there because this was the Lord's will. And the Bible says here that Mary, when she's watching all this stuff, she just took a moment and she said, I'm going to soak this in. I'm going to ponder what I've seen. This isn't something, this is I don't think this is normal. I get that babies poop in their diapers, and I get that they learn to crawl, and you buy them a pack and play and a stroller, and I get that they fall and stub their toes and knees, skin their knees, and you put little Band-Aids on them. But I feel like this child, there's something else going on here that's way beyond what a mother would expect, you know. So what did she do? She pondered. All these things had drastic implications for Mary and her son. A sword will pierce through your own heart. And some pondering was in order. And I think we need to learn to ponder. We need to learn to ponder. The rest of her life, she was going to have to make adjustments for living with this very special person. Someone that she brought forth, that she raised, that is King of Glory. The Lord of Hosts, who's in heaven even while he's on earth. What an amazing mystery. And she took some time. Why? Because I think she needed to be mentally prepared. You know? What did Christ tell the disciples? In the world you'll have tribulation. So I'm warning you. And I think sometimes it's good to think about what's coming. We have to ponder what we hear so that we're not totally taken by surprise. You know, we're laying there in bed and that windstorm comes up the other night. And I looked at Blair and I said, I should get out there and see how to hook the generator up to the house. You know, in the dark with the wind blowing. And I don't know where my headlamp is. I haven't seen it since hunting season. I probably won't see it again till next hunting season. It's in one of those big black and yellow bins from Costco. And, you know, Blair, she's so sweet, you know. And, you know, she's like, yeah, yeah, it happens every year. She just kind of said that. Because it does. We lose power every year. And I have a summer, you know, to get that generator going and to figure out the plug so that I'm not hoping Ace Hardware is open at 10:30 at night. And yet, for some reason, I wait till the weather comes up, which on the east side, it always comes up. And if you're on our grid, which is Bad Rock to Silver Bullet, you'll lose power 2 to 3 times a year. And every time it happens, you're surprised. Every stinking time. You know, maybe a little bit of pondering. Remember when you were a kid? Remember the old days? Remember before we had four-wheel drive and big fat tires? Do you remember your dad taking kitty litter and a shovel and gloves and a hat, right, and sandbags and loading up that station wagon? And he went everywhere in that thing with a rear-wheel drive station wagon in North Dakota, man. Yeah, maybe he had studded tires, right? But, you know, back in the day before you had OnStar and cell phones, you had to be prepared, right? Because in North Dakota, if you went into a ditch, they sometimes didn't find you till spring. And, you know, as Christians, we got to take a moment this season when we think about the promise of deliverance and the hope that we have that the Son of God was born into the world, and the light and the life and the hope that he brings. A moment to ponder would not be unwise. A moment to prepare. Why? So that when it does happen, maybe we're a little bit prepared. We got to look at our children and realize they're not always going to be little kids, and we got to ponder, where am I going with this family? Amen. You got to look at those little kids in the nursery, that little baby in your belly, and you want to think, okay, what kind of world do I want to bring this child into? Now's the time to ponder, because I did tell you it's going to get busier. It's going to get busier. You young people that you're not married yet, you don't have kids yet, and you can you have a hard time showing up for church and activities. I got news for you. It's going to get busier. And now would be a time to ponder, right? Just look at the screen time on your phone. Say it's 3, 4, 6 hours a day. Take one of those hours. Tell Sean Ryan that I'll hear you tomorrow. And ponder. So that the future doesn't catch you with your pants down. Amen, amen, amen. What should I do with the Christ child? I can purpose to see him for myself. I can rejoice in what I do see. I can invest in what will grow. And God help me, I can ponder. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You know that's why he came, right? When those angels said, peace on earth, goodwill to men, that peace is through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lived a sinless life because I can't. He never sinned. And we all have. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of my sin, I was separated from God. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And Jesus Christ was called the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross, but not only that, He rose from the dead to give me victory over the result of sin, which is death, because the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, who? The Jesus who the Bible says God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If you want to escape that eternal death, the Bible says death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. If you want your sins forgiven and you want to escape the judgment and the result of sin and eternity without God in hell, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And boy, I'll tell you what, the greatest Christmas gift you could give yourself this year would be to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for the